Hello, lovelies. This is Arden Marine, and you may know me from Chelsea Lately or as Regina Sinclair on Insatiable. I want to tell you about my podcast, Will You Accept This Rose, where we recap all the seasons of The Bachelor franchise, and we are very excited to talk about the new season of The Bachelor with Matt James. We chat about it with celebrity guests, including Lance Bass, Doug Benson, and Lacey Mosley. Catch our episodes every Wednesday and listen to Will You Accept This Rose on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Join us on this love journey.
Did Abraham Lincoln's deep depressions make him a better president to lead the U.S. through civil war? Why did Marilyn Monroe's death by suicide coincide with an upswing in her movie career? I'm Dr. Gail Saltz, and on my podcast, Season 2 of Personology, I'll be joined by amazing experts to delve into the minds of famous historical figures. If you want to know what really made exceptional people tick, then take a listen to Personology. Find Season 2 of Personology on January 25th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio.
Me and my friend take this rap shit to you.
Mic check, 1, 2, back in the building. This is episode 122, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your other host.
And yeah, we about to get busy. How you been, Josh?
I'm good, man.
Word,
I'm good. How was your, this was Valentine's weekend.
Valentine's weekend, you know what I'm saying? We in effect. It was cool. It was real cool. You know what I mean? I noticed that Liz pointed this out. I this is not an original thought on my part. We have a thing about ending up in the strip club on holidays.
On holidays in general.
Yeah.
So like a little strip club on Christmas, dog. Like,
listen, maybe not Christmas. I know Thanksgiving, her birthday, every holiday that's happened.
The street for one now.
Right. So, which is like, and what's crazy about it, it's not like, remember we used to go a night on Broadway and they would charge you like a dub to get in the door.
Yeah.
And then you getting dances and tipping and you drinking. This spot up the street, I've talked about it before, it's like a hipster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Strip club. Let me turn my phone off. Sorry. But,
yeah, you got Grinch fingers in there and all that. Like,
there's definitely a lady who dances in there with fucking Grinch fingers. But, this shit, they charged us, it's a membership.
Uh-huh.
So they charged us a $5 fee, and then you just go in for free for like the rest of it. It's like $5 a year or some shit, which I am not used to. I'm used to being gouged.
Yeah, paying exorbitant prices at the door. Yeah.
I've paid like $40 at just an entrance fee.
Yeah, I think we went
to get in a club.
Me and my man Maine went to Night on Broadway on like New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, like past New Year's, right? Or whatever. You know, Night on Broadway doesn't open till 2 a.m. anyway.
Right.
And like I had been telling him about, he's from down south. He had moved up here after the army and shit. So like he had never been to Night on Broadway, and for years I had been telling him about like the wonders of Night on Broadway.
Yes.
And so it had been a minute since I had went, and like he was like, yo, we was out for like New Year's party and shit. He was like, yo, we should go to Night on Broadway tonight. I was like, dog, first of all, I was like, I don't know how packed it's going to be. It's New Year's.
It's crazy in there, yeah.
And I was like, also, like, I don't know, like, we got there, dog. They was charging like 50 at the door.
Ooh, shit.
And man. I was like, he was like, yo, dog, I got you. You know what I mean? You've been telling me about this place for a while. I was just like, dog, I'm not paying 50 to get in here.
Get
like,
in that joint, yeah.
Like, nothing comes with that $50. They're like, they don't even serve drinks in here, so it's not even like you will come in and get 2 drink tickets.
Right.
Get drinks.
Right.
So
you got to be already New Year's drunk when you go in there.
You got to be popped up already. So I'm like, all right, so we went in there, and it was like, it was cool. Like, it was nice or whatever, but I was like, it was not worth $50 to get in.
$50, yo. Yeah. I feel like New Year's used to be, like, out of pocket with, like, the prices. I don't know what it is, like, now, because I just go to, like, cheap shit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we definitely went out and had dinner, you know what I mean, hung out, had some drinks, and then we ended up in the strip club. Word. So Yeah, it was cool.
No dog stepped on this time?
I did not step on a dog this time. No deaf,
dumb, and blind dogs in there?
I mean, a dog was in there.
Oh, he was?
That dog's like the house dog. You know what I mean? He was definitely in there.
He like wipes the pole down after they get off the stage and shit.
He licks it. Like, clean it off. But, yeah.
Chicks get on there like, no, he's, you know, a dog's mouth is cleaner than a human's. Like,
right. It was definitely Jones in there with, like, the burlesque, like, pinup. Yeah. Outfit. I got a lap dance from a joint that looked like FKA Twigs. It was like, it's legit like a hipster strip club. And like you said, it is right down the street.
Yeah.
So we like live in that joint now.
Word.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
can't beat it, man.
Yeah, yeah. I like convenience.
Exactly.
We got tacos at one end of the block, the hipster strip club at the other end.
My life at this point is all about convenience.
Listen. You know,
if it's not convenient, I'm like, I look for reasons not to do it.
We talked about that when you were talking about the like the hospital bed, like buying a hospital bed. Convenience and comfort are like my new religion.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like my life is organized around both.
I shit on my son for a couple of years for like doing nothing but wearing sweats all the time. And like, I've now adopted
you
that
get
same
it now.
Practice. Like,
hell yeah.
Yo, man, it's like something about being comfortable all the time. And like,
it's a Sunday and I'm wearing jeans.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Nah, dog.
Why am I wearing jeans?
Sweats is like the best thing in the world, dog. Man. I just got to pull them up. Like, they comfortable. They soft.
Dog.
Breathable material. Like, that ain't breathable. Like,
you know the giant, speaking of, like, Valentine's Day and comfort, you know the giant teddy bears?
Yeah.
Imagine that shit as, like, a tracksuit.
Yeah.
Like, you cut it open, snatch all the stuffing out of it, and just rock that
just
shit.
Soft and warm, yo.
Listen. Not comfy you would be?
Yeah.
Dog.
Cozy is the way of life, yo.
Ooh, that's a shirt.
Yeah.
That's a, ooh, like a pullover.
Yeah.
Cozy is the way of life.
Cozy is the way of life.
Right.
Yo.
One of y'all write that down. Yeah. So we don't forget it. But yeah, it was, you know, cool Valentine's Day. Did you do anything this weekend or?
I mean, I watched Pornhub, like, you know what I mean?
I appreciate that.
Doing a little Ava Devine, you know what I mean? Chilled out.
Pornhub be having like the seasonal like designs and shit. It'd be Valentine's Day, be like little hearts popping up.
Like hearts click on the shit.
Shout out to y'all for making me feel like less lonely. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I ain't do nothing, man. Like, my daughter called me on Valentine's, my youngest, FaceTime me, like, yo, she called me and just was like, yo, I have a sore throat.
Oh,
and I'm like, okay, well, you tell your mom, like, you're at your mom's house, right? You're calling me. She's like, well, my mom's not here. Like, her and her husband had went out for Valentine's.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, all right. I'm like, well, I started like give her instructions, like, yo, you know, get some tea and
gargle
like,
some salt water.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, because that's exactly what I started. I was like, well, make some salt water. Make some, like, get some really, really, really warm water, not hot boiling, but hot water. And I was like, you know what? Get your sister. Put your sister on the phone.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm giving you a 10-year-old instructions. This is not going to work out well. You're going to end up burning your mouth and shit. Yeah. I was like, yo, get your sister some like really, 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 really warm water. Put some salt in it. Have her gargle with it and make her some tea.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, all right, cool. And I know she wasn't like excited about it, but I couldn't tell my 19-year-old son or my almost 19-year-old son because he's a fucking, you know, he lacks all common sense. He'd have fucked it up.
You don't want to give a boy any instructions for anything.
Nah,
it's fucked up, but yeah, you don't want to give a boy any instructions.
Yeah, so I did all that, and then, like, she called my mom, and my mom, you know, baby in there, like, oh,
yeah,
Lord,
yeah.
You know. She come out, and I'm like, yo, mom, she's like, you know, Nyla's sick. I was like, yo, I'm not driving 40 minutes because she has a sore throat.
Rubber, like, on her back.
Yeah, like, I'm like, on top of that, like, could you imagine, like, her mom and her husband, like, walk in the crib and I'm there with Nyla, like,
right,
you know,
on Valentine's Day, you just hanging out.
She like, well, you know, I was like, well, she just wants somebody to sit with her. I was like, her mom will be home eventually, like,
she'll be all right.
She's like, well, her sister and brother are like in the other room. I was like, because they don't want to, like, they don't want to sit with their sick sister. Like, on top of the fact that they probably don't want to get sick, like,
right.
I'm like, so she calling, and like, I talked to her. I was like, yo, go take a shower. My mom had like told her, go take some Motrin.
Mm-hmm.
And she took some Motrin, and then she was like starting to fall asleep. And I was like, yo, go take a shower and lay down. Yeah. I said, you will feel 1,000 times
better.
You'll
be better, yeah.
You know what I mean? She's like, okay. I'm like, it's a sore throat. Like, come on, man.
I love you, Dad.
But she like, you know, my mom baby her. So like, as soon as she got on the phone, like when I talked to her, like I literally saw her 4 hours earlier because I dropped my son there.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So I literally saw her 4 hours earlier and she was perfectly
fine.
She
was chilling, yeah.
So like,
hitting the woe.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like she was fine. She was not, there was nothing wrong with her. But right. Because she was sitting there with her mom, talking to my mom, she hit the baby voice. And
I was going to say, is she like that when it's like a crisis? Is she like, oh.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, she can be a little babyish. But like, she knows she could turn it on my mom, and my mom will do whatever she wants. So,
you know, I'm an adult and I'm kind of like that.
Yeah, I mean, my whole thing was just like, I just had to get my mom to understand like, yo, I'm not driving 40 minutes. Like, yo, she was throwing up or some shit like that, it'd be a different story.
Right.
She has a sore throat.
Throat a little scratchy. Nah.
Yeah, like she is 10 years old. She's not like 3 with a sore throat and feeling shitty. I was like, you can give her medicine. Her 18-year-old brother and 15-year-old sister are there with her. Like,
right.
She's not by herself at 10 years old in a crib.
Shit, I was.
That's what I said. Yeah. I said, Mom, I was like, I was by myself. You used to leave me by myself when I was 10 years old. Like,
I remember when my mom first started, like, just like rolling out and be like, all right, you know, don't let nobody in the crib.
Don't let nobody in.
You know what I'm saying? It's food over here. Da 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 da. It's just like,
don't
rolling.
Touch the oven. Like, man, you know what I mean?
It was like a whole new world. Yeah. I was like, shit. You just leave me alone?
Crib okay. yourself. Like,
listen.
I'm like, yo, just turn on the TV and lay there and go to bed. Like,
you'll be all right.
She, my mom, like, well, you know, she just, you know, but they're mean to her, blah blah blah. Talking about her sister, and I'm I'm sure they're like cussing her out while she's laying in bed. Like, she's fine, you know what I mean?
And that's the law of the jungle.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Older brothers, sisters always gotta be meaner to the younger ones, yo.
Listen, I ain't even gonna tell some of the stories shit my brother used to do. You know what I mean? I broke my arm. My brother left out the crib. And I was, you know, I was older than Nyla is now, but ain't not by much. Yep. I might have been like 12.
Yeah.
Snapped my arm in half.
That's what you get. Yeah. It just like walked out the crib.
You all right? Like, you know what I mean? So
taking like a chair leg and like tying it around your arm, like you'd be all right.
Do like the Bruce Willis shit, like snap your arm back in place. Nah, like I'm the baby, so I didn't have any younger siblings to kind of like, I might have ended up like a more mature person.
Yeah.
Had I had that. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like somebody younger to look out for, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I was by myself. So like, and that's what my mind was like when she was throwing that. She was like, well, you were by yourself and I didn't have a choice because blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, they went out for like Thanksgiving. It's not, I mean, Thanksgiving, for like Valentine's Day. It's not like they just rolling out on a random night to be like, yo, fuck Nyla, she's sick.
Man,
like,
they didn't go to Hawaii.
Yeah. Like,
she chilling.
I'm like, you know, I was like, yo, you used to, like, my mom was like, I remember being, I couldn't have been older than like 4 or 5 because we ain't living in this place more than that. But like, I remember my mom being like, yo, I got to run to the store. Like, don't open the door. Stay here on the sofa. Don't go nowhere. Like, you know what I mean?
Hand you like a little knife.
Yeah, like, yo, go, I'm going to the store. Like, you know what I mean? And like, I'm like, yo, you like, you did. She was like, well, I didn't have a choice because I was, you was the only child and I didn't have, and there was nobody else around.
Yeah.
I said, I get that. But like, she is there with other people. She's not by herself.
She's fine.
Like,
yeah.
It was like, you know how many times like I had to like, she was, well, you know how many times I took you to the emergency room, like and turned into that. Like it was just like, I didn't say you didn't take care of me. So like,
so did your mom want you to like go?
I think she wanted me to go up there and get
her. Yeah, and just go like check on her.
Yeah. And I think she wanted me to go get her.
Oh, bring her to her. Okay.
And bring her to the house.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She could take care of her. Like, I'm like, no, she's not a fucking infant. Like, you know what I mean?
That's like grandma instinct.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, like I told her, I was like, I get what you're doing. Like, I know you want to like take care of her. I said, but she's okay. She's not like.
She's fine.
Yeah, she's perfectly. She was at school the day before. Like, you know what I mean? Right. I saw her a couple hours before that. She was perfectly fine when I saw her.
Yeah.
Like, you know how it is when you're sick. Like, at night, it's always the worst.
That is true, dog.
You know what
I used to go through it when like night would fall.
Yeah.
After like being like sick a few years ago, like nighttime would come and it would be worse.
I think it's because your body is just worn down from the day or whatever, so like it has a hard time fighting shit off.
Right.
But I was just like, there's no fucking way, like driving 40 minutes for a sore throat, like that's not happening. I was like, she will be fine. And the next day, I called her in the morning. She was just like, Saturday, I called her in the morning. She was just like, I'm all right, I'm good. Yeah. Like, she just sent me fucking some IG shit. Like, she's perfectly fine. She's not
sending memes and shit.
Yeah, like, she's
chilling.
Yeah, she's not in a situation where she's like, she's on her deathbed. Like, you know what I mean? She'll be okay.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean? But no, I didn't do much, man. Like, you know, I kind of just chilled.
Mm-hmm.
I watched some of that Who Shot Malcolm X shit on.
I got to watch that. The Netflix joint?
The Netflix joint.
I got to watch
Who Killed Malcolm X.
Yeah.
I wanted to check out that High Fidelity joint. I forgot it actually dropped this weekend. So
I just started watching High Fidelity. Zoe Kravitz.
Yeah.
That joint is really good. But I like the original High Fidelity.
Yeah, yeah. I like the movie too.
Yeah, so. John Cusack. But
let me turn off. Let me turn my shit off.
Yeah. We ringing over here. We popping. Yeah. But yeah, it's real dope. And I got to get into the Malcolm X joint. I haven't been in like the emotional space.
Yeah.
To take that in yet. Even though there's a documentary. They used to sell it at Black and Nobel. I can't think of the name of it. But it might have been like similar to like Who Killed Malcolm X, like the title of it.
Yeah.
But it was like an independent documentary this brother made, and a lot of that shit he put out there. It's a really long documentary. I got it on DVD somewhere.
Yeah.
But a lot of that information about like the elder in Newark that they said was the one that with the shotgun and like, you know, shot Malcolm, you know, him being like alive and well in Newark, New Jersey. A lot of that info is known.
Yeah, I didn't know. I know like the one dude got caught. Like Malcolm security called him, like shot him when he was running about the joint.
Yeah.
So I know he had got caught. I didn't know they grabbed two other dudes for it.
Mm-hmm.
And like those two dudes still claim innocence to this day, and they were like, "Yo, they served like 30 years."
That's fucking crazy.
And they were like, "Yo, I was innocent." The one more, like he was like, "I was innocent. I didn't do this." Like, right. You know what I mean? But they was like FOI dudes. And it's interesting. It's really like some of it's a little slow because like I know a lot of the backstory already, and like they're building the character essentially.
Yeah, they're like telling you about Malcolm's like history and all like shit that you know we know.
Yeah, so I was like, that's a little slow for me, but I understand why you're doing it. Right, you know what I mean.
Right.
When you're doing a documentary or telling a story anyway, you're building that story from like the ground up so people can understand the character and see through that character's point of view. So
And you kind of have to assume, you know, that everybody watching it
doesn't know
who this person is.
You don't do it like, oh well, everybody knows who Malcolm is, so let's just get into this. Like,
right,
you know
right.
I mean? You have to like kind of build the whole story.
Word.
So it's good. You know, I'm gonna get into it. I'm gonna catch up. I'm gonna think I'm gonna watch some of that High Fidelity shit when I get to the crib.
I might real shit. Like when you came here, you know, to record, I had it on. We watched a little bit of it, but I'm probably gonna finish that joint today.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know what I did over two. I did Thursday and then part of Valentine's Day. I spent watching Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet.
Oh, okay,
the two like the crew, the dudes from Always Sunny, it's Always Sunny. New show.
Yeah,
it's really good.
I gotta watch that joint.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little, you know, it's a little silly like Always Sunny is, but it's a little more highbrow.
Oh, okay.
Like there's a bottle episode. But you know what? Some of the stuff they played with on Always Sunny later on. Mm-hmm. Like there's the whole episode that's like Rickety Cricket's story.
Yeah.
So like there's like
stuff, Cricket.
Yeah. So there's stuff like that. There's like a whole bottle episode that kind of ties in at the very end, and then ties in later in the season.
Explain to folks what a bottle episode.
Okay, so a bottle episode. Yeah. How about that? A bottle episode is like a confined story in a season of TV.
Mm-hmm.
So like. If you tell one whole story through a whole episode, that the story begins in that episode, it has no connection to the rest of the season, and ends in that episode, essentially having no connection to that season.
Right.
It's just one solid story that's told from beginning to end.
Self-contained.
Yeah, self-contained story. Yeah.
You know, perfect analogy here for all of the Buffy the Vampire Slayer fans like myself. There's an episode. It's like that episode in season one, I want to say, where Willow goes on to the internet and meets this guy and they form like a romantic attachment. But it turns out that this guy is actually an ancient demon who invaded the internet to seduce Willow and then ultimately take over the world.
Yeah.
self-contained story, had nothing to do with the rest of the season arc or any of that. So yeah, I understand.
Yeah, like Rob McElhenney, who's like the lead character, shows up at the very end of this episode as just kind of a tag.
Oh shit, yeah.
You know what I mean? No like connection to him. Its story takes place like 25 years before the season does. Like, I think it starts like the show is like basically set up for like today, like, you know, live action today or whatever.
Right, right.
And this bottle episode starts in like 95 or 98 or something like that.
Shit.
So like it starts like 20 some years ago, 30 years ago, whatever. Like it starts like in its own thing.
Right.
And like Rob McElhenney just pops up the very end to tie it kind of together.
Mm-hmm.
Like into like the larger story, but not really. Like it's completely its own episode.
Yeah.
But there's some really good stuff they do with like women empowerment in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like a stuff I think they have a little more freedom to explore than like, I mean, Always Sunny is like four or five of the most depraved characters you can have right. on television.
Right.
So like, they're all essentially just looking for schemes to get like, to get around yeah. like doing anything.
It's like a perpetual protracted, race to the bottom.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
It's Always Sunny.
Yeah. Like they're like the five of the worst human beings on the planet.
Right.
You
right.
know what I mean? This show is not supposed to be that. It's supposed to like different. It's not like that kind of shit. So
what's the title of it again? Say it again.
Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet.
Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet. Got
yeah. The game is called like they're basically like they run like a World of Warcraft type thing.
Right, right.
Rob McElhenney, when he said like he had got invited to like I guess like Ubisoft, which I think does like World of Warcraft or something. Mm-hmm. He got invited to World of Warcraft's like offices, Ubisoft's like offices,
right, right.
And like he was going around touring because he's like, I've always been a gamer, dude. Like I play games and shit. So like I was going around doing a tour, and he was like, I bumped into this dude who was like wearing like a top hat and like a leather vest with I guess like a leather, but like that soft leather vest and a shirt underneath of it.
No.
And
like the game master?
Like essentially. And he had like this really long beard and a cane. And he was like,
no.
Well, he doesn't look like he's like walking around regular. Like the cane is just flair.
Right, 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 right.
He was like, so yo. He like asked dude, like he was like, yo, I got it. So he was like, so I asked you like, yo, what do you do? Like he was like, oh, me? He said he paused for a few seconds and was like, I build worlds.
Let's fucking go.
And so Rob was like,
let's go.
I immediately like left and called Charlie and was like, I know our next show.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
And so like that's kind of who he plays in the show.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
a world builder or whatever.
I love imagining him meeting this guy and he'd be like, I build worlds. He's like, thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
And walking out the door.
Now I'm going to make my next $1 million hit.
Hell yeah.
But it's really good. It's like a really funny show. And he said like, I'm in the business of making shows whose titles who barely fit on posters.
Right.
Cause like,
Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, like yeah. We just say like, oh, it's Always Sunny. Like, and we know.
Right, right.
The real title is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I don't even search that whole thing. If I put it in something,
right.
Not putting all that fucking in there. I just write Always Sunny.
Too much info.
Yeah.
Word.
Yeah, do you want to take a break?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's take a break. Like we said earlier, this is the relationship.
Yes, the relationship episode.
So folks sent us questions, and we're going to take a break real quick. We're going to come back and answer your motherfucking wonderful questions.
Yes.
So, yeah, we'll be right back.
Who is David Bowie? Well, that depends on who you ask or which record you play. To some, he's Ziggy Stardust. To others, the Thin White Duke or Major Tom. But who is David Bowie really? To answer that question, we'll have to go off the record. My name is Jordan Runtog, and I'm the host of Off the Record, a new music biography podcast from iHeartRadio. Off the Record goes beyond the songs and into the hearts and minds of rock's greatest legends. Every season profiles one classic artist, taking listeners on a wild ride through their extraordinary career. The first season examines the life, or rather lives, of David Bowie. Each episode of the 11-part audio event tells the story of one of his iconic personas. Together, these faces form an intimate portrait of one of the 20th century's most influential figures. So who was David Bowie? Tune in to Off the Record to find out. Listen and follow on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hello, lovelies. This is Arden Marine, and you may know me from Chelsea Lately or Shameless, or more recently as Regina Sinclair on Insatiable on Netflix. I want to tell you about my podcast, Will You Accept This Rose, where we recap all the seasons of The Bachelor franchise, and we are very excited to talk about the new season of The Bachelor with Matt James. Each episode, we bring in amazing celebrity guests, and we have a bunch of amazing guests planned to cover this season with us, including Lance Bass, Ashley I from The Bachelor franchise, Padgett Brewster, Doug Benson, Jerry Treanor, Rob Benedict, Lauren Lapkus, Brian Safi, Ross Matthews, Kate Micucci, Scott Aukerman, Miles Gray, Lacey Mosley, Michelle Collins, and more. If you watch The Bachelor franchise, you're going to love hanging with us while we get into the hot details of the show. You may have other choices in Bachelor podcasts, but none that are this funny, and we are truly fans. Catch our episodes every Wednesday and listen to Will You Accept This Rose on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast. Join us on this love journey.
Boom. Back in effect. So like we said before we took the break, we reached out via
Lingo talk.
You know, my man playing inside baseball, you know what I'm saying, for y'all. But we basically opened up our social media. We asked y'all like, what are some, we've been threatening to do a relationship episode for a while, and we asked y'all, like, what are some questions about love and intimacy and dating and relationships that y'all want to see us, you know, answer and talk about. So basically, I have the list right here. We're going to run through these joints and, you know, chat a little bit. First question, question one, my man Steve. Shout out to Steve. He asked, what are some fun and creative dates that you can go on besides the traditional dinner and a movie?
I know. I actually reached out. I was talking to this chick, and she was like, she don't really like the normal like dinner and a movie type thing. She likes to do different stuff. She thinks like that's kind of boring. And since I'm like a real simple dude, I was like, oh, shit. Like, I'm like...
Were you terrified?
Yeah, kind of. I'm like, yo, do I pick something that's really boring? Because I kind of like this girl. Man. This is a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I kind of really like this girl. So I was like, damn, like, am I going to be like, you know what I mean?
Oh, man. I have no other ideas.
Yeah. So I reached out to our homegirl, Rhythm, and was like, yo, I need some, like, ideas. Like,
shout out Rhythm.
I mean? So she shot me a bunch of stuff.
She seems like she knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. She's like, you know, she's a Renaissance woman, you know,
worldly
what I mean?
Person. Yeah, absolutely.
So I use like none of her ideas, but no, like I had like different stuff set up. Me and this girl only went out a couple times, I did have like some of her stuff lined up, but like, you know, there's like there's always like painting with a twist,
yeah,
which is like
sipping
fun.
Paint.
Sipping paint.
You know what I'm saying? You drink a little wine, and you paint pictures with other people.
Absolutely. There's that kind of stuff. There's there's like wine tastings. There's there's always different shit like that. We went to one date we did do was Wednesdays, the art museum, after 5 o'clock, I think, is like pay what you want.
Oh yeah.
So, and then they serve like drinks in there, like some, you know, like wine, but then they serve like some harder stuff in there too.
Yeah. Cocaine.
Good cocaine. Like, I mean, it wouldn't be the art scene.
You imagine? That's like a Pusha T lyric.
Yeah.
You in the art museum sniffing coke?
Shit. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he said that before.
That's some fly shit.
So like you go, like we, you know, we went there, you pay a couple bucks, and then you it's pay as you wish. You could pay nothing if you don't want to.
I know, and I think on the weekends in Philly, if you are like low income and you have like a EBT card for like food stamps, I think the museum is like $2.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So for like you and a guest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like there's that stuff. Like I had, I stole this off of somebody. I do not remember who I stole this off of years ago. I mean, like long before the podcast, any of that kind of shit. I stole this off somebody. It was like you and your partner or whatever, you sit down and you pick like your 10 favorite songs.
All right.
And their idea was like you just sit there and play the songs And don't talk. You just play each, like each one of you like goes back and forth sharing a song.
Just vibe out to like a playlist.
I think actually you guys should talk a little bit and like, why did you pick this song and that kind of stuff? Because I think, you know, music is a very intimate thing for a lot of people. And especially if you're picking like your 10 favorite songs. I did do this with somebody and like, you know, she was like, what's the joint? It's a Wonderful World. Well, my man's voice is like really deep and all that shit. Well, I can't think of my man's name right now.
Paul Robeson?
No. I can't remember the name of the song. But like, she was like, that was her grandfather's favorite song.
Okay.
And so like,
What a Wonderful World, like the Louis Armstrong?
Yeah, Louis Armstrong.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
I'm bugging.
My brain was just blank at the time.
But I'm like, over here trying to crack jokes. Like.
But like, she was like, oh, that was my granddad's favorite song. So when I think, when I listen to it, I think of him and like all the stuff we did. Nice. So, like that stuff, like to do that kind of shit where you like, you know what I mean? You're like, oh, well, why does this song mean this much to you? All that. So,
shit that doesn't have to be like Steve said, like a dinner, a movie.
No, you don't got to do like, you know, and then that's like, you know, you guys get a little food, you sit down like at your place or her place or whatever. And like, you just play music, you know what I mean, for each other, shit like that. There's dope shit like that. You don't got to do like the traditional, just like dinner and a movie type thing.
Yeah, I noticed that especially in like large cities, there's been more of like, I guess like, I don't know how it's classified, but I think of it as like urban, like entertainment adventure stuff. So like, we did the escape room.
There's that.
You know what I'm saying?
Like that.
There's like the axe throwing shit where you just throw axes at a
target.
There's
rage rooms where you go and just like break shit.
You know what I want? I don't mean to cut you off. I might have to edit this out because y'all niggas, you know, be trying to G off our ideas. Karaoke, but rap battle karaoke.
Ah, word. That'd be dope.
You know what I'm saying? You show up, a nigga drop like the Shook Ones beat. And you battle them like Eminem and what's my man, Papa Doc?
Papa Doc, yeah.
That shit, dog. You imagine that shit in like a fly bar?
Yeah.
And you show up. I feel like that would be some fun shit.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yo, you know what the best thing that you can always do is like fucking Facebook. Like, you just go into events for the week.
Right.
And like, just find, you know, like there's always, that's where I found like wine tastings and like, there's like a, when the weather breaks, there's like a mixer on top of like the big public library right there on Vine.
Yeah.
Like on the roof, there's just like a happy hour mixer. You can just go out there. They play, you know, they get a DJ, play music, da, da, da.
I saw Doozy play there.
I was about to say,
a while ago.
One of the fan played there. So
That shit was popping.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, there was a bunch of stuff that like I legit had like a full like list of itinerary of like, oh, we can do this one time, we can do that one time, blah, 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 blah.
There's a spot, I don't mean to cut you off. There's a spot on 30th Street. I can't think of the name of this shit. It's like Green Social or something.
Word.
But it's like this big, tall building, and they have like this like open space up top with like a bar, and they serve food, and they have this giant screen.
Yeah.
And when it's warm on Wednesdays, they do like free movie screenings.
Word.
So you're like on top of this big fucking building, this giant screen, you eating a fucking, eating a fucking burger and like drinking, and they're showing like Forrest Gump or like Back to the Future with a bunch of people around. There's a bunch of like outdoor film screening stuff to go to, you know what I mean? I kind of pioneered that back in the day, but you know what I mean? We'll talk about that. You know what I'm saying? But like, there's
CW, you heard?
Listen, there's so many, especially if you live in the city. If you live in like nowhere,
I don't know
what y'all niggas do. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But if you live in the city,
cow
like
tipping or something, like,
come on. You know what I'm saying, cousin fucking. But if it's, you know, if you live in a city, there's a ton of shit to do. Like you said, look up Facebook events and shit. I was gonna say I write for a publication called the Broad Street Review in Philly that just does like a bunch of events.
Yeah, the key listings, stuff for the weekend.
Yeah,
all the
you
time.
Know what I'm saying.
So there's stuff there. You can definitely find stuff.
You more so have to be open and know where to look.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Question number two. We're gonna keep it rocking. Do you want to do this, the Corey's question about the blanket?
Yeah, we can.
So, shout out to my man Corey. He asked, who deserves the majority of the blanket when you're sleeping? You know, it's a common thing. You're sleeping with your partner and, you know, they're taking some of the blanket, or they're taking, you know, you're taking some of the blanket. You know, I'm a socialist at heart, so yeah. I share the blanket.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Not necessarily my partner. You know what I mean? Doesn't do that, but, you know, I don't think, I mean, I don't even know, I guess I should have asked Corey to elaborate. Is this like a gendered thing? Are we talking like, or are we just saying like who, how would you even establish that? Who gets the most?
I mean, I don't, like, me and you were talking earlier, and like, I'm super on my not compromising thing right now. Like, part of the reason why I'm not with somebody, like, the idea of like having to move anywhere out of my own comfort zone, I don't want to do. So, but I mean, I've had like, you know, friends, partners and stuff like that sleep over and shit. And it's just like, I don't know, man. Like, a lot of times it's like, yo, I just can't wait for them to leave.
Just
like,
get out. Yeah. Let me have the bed to myself. Who bought the blanket?
Yeah, exactly.
It's my question. You know what I'm saying? Who bought it?
Yeah. Who bought
the
blanket?
Maybe that person deserves the lion's share of the blanket. I don't fucking know.
Or you know what? You just get an extra throw blanket, you put it on the bottom of the bed, and if one of us need, you know, one of us takes too much, you just grab the other throw.
Let's grab that other one. You at this point, and you know, I'm glad you reminded me of this because I have to buy another blanket. At this point, you gotta have two.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? You just
keep one in the tuckie. You know what I mean? Absolutely. Especially if you know your partner like is the one who like balls himself up in the blanket, you grab the other one
like a burrito. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you just got to grab the other one. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know, it's 2020. You know what I mean? Blankets ain't that expensive. Yeah. Just grab an extra joint.
Blankets ain't expensive. We got the heated joints now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just do it.
Yeah, they got the weighted down ones, too.
I don't want that.
Nah, that idea of, like, someone, like, weighing me down with a blanket, like, that's, dog, that's scary to me. Yeah. Like,
I like to be able to like hop up. You know what I mean?
I don't want
to
have to like, you know, there's days where like, you know, my back's all fucked up, my body just don't feel like it. Like, I really lift because there's 5 pound weights on the side of my blanket. Nah, man, I'm good.
If I want to work out, I want to get out the bed and go work out. Exactly. I don't want getting out the bed to be a workout.
Nah, not at all.
Not fucking with that shit. So yeah, whoever, you know, I don't know, battle of the, who's the most physically fit?
Yeah.
Who's the strongest? That's the motherfucker who gets the blanket.
Exactly.
I don't know. Shout out to Corey though. But,
if you sleep on your sofa, you get all the blankets you want.
Listen. Sleep on your sofa and there's no tension. Yeah. Like you're not sleeping on your sofa cause it's a problem. That shit hit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to, let me see. I'm going to jump to Atiyah's question.
Okay.
Because Jake's question is a little heavier. Maybe we need a little more
breathing room for
it. Yeah, a little breathing room to jump to Jake's. But Atiyah, shout out to Atiyah. Atiyah asked, do cishet guys actually want to be friends with women for obvious reasons, if there are obvious reasons to not be more than that? So a couple of things here. Off top, let's establish what
cishet means.
Yeah, what Atiyah means by cishet. Cisgendered is a person who agrees with their assigned gender. So when I was born, you know, way back in the day, the doctor looked at me and said, it's a boy.
Yeah.
And I agree with that assessment. Yeah. So I'm considered cisgendered. Somebody who later in life says, well, no, you know, I feel like this or I feel like that can be defined as transgendered. So, and the het in that is heterosexual. So I'm cisgendered and heterosexual, not to speak for Josh, but Josh is too.
Yes, I'm cisgender heterosexual.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's what Atiyah means. I'm a little confused. I don't know if I wrote the question weird or if Atiyah wrote the question weird. But it's like, do cishet guys actually want to be friends with women? That I understand.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like, do cishet guys consistent, I guess almost like consistent guys be friends with women when there's obviously nothing else from there. Like, they're not going to, like, score with the chick.
You're not going to smash.
Yeah, yeah.
You're but it's just like, yo, you still, we still going to be the homie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if you're like, because you have to factor in if you're like, if you find that person, like, attractive. Sexually attractive, yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know you're not going to smash, do you still want to be friends?
Yeah, me, myself, when I was younger, absolutely not. Yeah. And not because of a situation of like, no, man, women can't, I can't be friends with no woman, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. More like because I just felt really uncomfortable around women. Yeah. I was not comfortable with myself.
Right, right.
So like, I didn't feel comfortable around women anyway. I was always like a shyer kid anyway, mm-hmm. Especially with women. So I definitely had like, I had some like issues with that kind of stuff, and there was I was friends, especially by the time I got to high school. I had women that were like in our like social circle who I was friends with, like, you know what I mean.
Right.
But I knew other dudes who were like much closer to these women, like just friendly, and I was just like, that's weird, like. Mm-hmm. And only am I, and like, not weird in like what they were doing, more like, oh, it's weird to me. Like, I don't, yeah, yeah. How can you be like friends with these women, blah, 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 blah. Like, I just didn't feel comfortable.
Right.
As I've gotten older, I love having women as friends.
Right.
Like, just getting different perspective. Mm. And I just revalue them as a person. I like to collect personalities, like, you know, mm-hmm. what I mean? And collect people who I really enjoy being around.
Yeah. Like, oh, this person's different from.
Yeah. So I like, yeah, I look at it a lot of ways different now, where I'm just like, I don't care about like woman, man, trans, like whatever. Like, I just like people that like, I'm like, oh, I love this person as a
rock
person.
With you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so like, I like to have them around me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that, one, as men, we're conditioned to like view, there's nothing wrong with viewing women as sexual beings.
No.
But I feel like we're conditioned to reduce women to that.
Yeah. There's a difference between like viewing a woman as a sexual being and viewing her only as a sexual being.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You know, I definitely have platonic women friends and people who I can acknowledge like, oh, that person is attractive.
Yeah.
But I'm not like clocking them, you know what I mean? But also, I'm in a monogamous relationship. Yeah. So, you know, maybe that's why my brain is working the way it is. But I don't think if I weren't in a relationship, I would be clocking my homies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think there's a way of that for me where I'm just like, oh, well, you know, she's hot, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
it's more
yeah.
like, yeah, she's, you know, she's a nice person. I just like her as a person. So
yeah,
I think a big thing is like, I don't want that in my circle, almost, of just like, we're friends. I don't want to lose like that value yeah. of a friendship.
We homies. We gonna be homies. Yeah.
Yeah, like that whole. I think that would be. You could make it really weird. Yeah. And because, you know, especially if you're like, you're friends with that person, and then you have other friends and mutual friends, it's like, then you guys start dating and you break up, which is generally basically going to happen. I mean, like, you know,
statistically, numbers-wise. Yeah.
Statistically,
yeah.
You're going to break up. Mm-hmm. Then, like, it's an awkward situation, like, between your friend group now. Like,
right.
So I think for me, it's like, I can find people attractive. I can say, like, oh, yeah, she's an attractive person. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But. Like, I was talking to a friend of ours, and I said something about a dude who I was like, oh, he was a good looking dude.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he dude ended up on drugs and shit. So he like, had like, you know, like definitely changed and
fucked
shit.
Up. Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, he was a good looking guy too. Like, you know what I mean? It's fucked up. And my man was like, yeah, I guess you could say like women found him attractive.
right.
And I was like, I mean, you know, it is what it is.
You don't got to qualify that, bro. Yeah, we all know we all street here.
No, but like, yeah. I just definitely was like, you know, I can see a woman and be like, oh, she's very attractive, and like, also not go like, oh, I want to sleep with her.
Yeah, I don't
like,
necessarily got to get at her.
Yeah, and I'm a person who's like, if I'm seeing somebody, I'm generally like, that's who I want to be with. I don't need to like search around for other people and all that kind of shit.
Right.
So when I'm in a relationship, that's not an issue for me at all.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, like, that came with age, though. Like, that's not something I could, like, value when I was younger.
Yeah, it's, I see, maybe it's just my circle, but I see more, strengthening of like strictly platonic relationships between men and women in particular, or people who, you know, could be attracted to each other. You know what I mean? It just seems like it's more common, where it's just like, oh, that's, you know, that's my homie or whatever. Yeah. There's not this whole drama of like, will we eventually have sex and date or whatever.
Yeah, I think part
this
of mine
is not as necessary.
I think part of mine too might have came up with being an only child and like no real family. There was no girl cousins that I was like friendly with. There was no sisters. Like there was no like females, immediate females to even be any kind of, have any type of relationship with. So any woman outside of that was always like, well, there's a chance, blah, 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 blah. Felt, and always was like, well, what if I don't like them, but they like me? And always being unsure of myself and never comfortable to do any of those type of things.
Right. So. Yeah, I think that absolutely, to just directly answer Atiyah's question, I think that absolutely cishet men have platonic friendships with women and value women. You know, personally, I like that we're all different.
Yes.
I'm not a we're all the same kind of person. I don't like that shit.
No, I don't want, if everybody was the same, I wouldn't, you know what I mean? There's no fun in that.
Yeah. And it's not even true. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, people say that, but they're literally wrong. We're all different. And I feel that people's identities, you know, come with like gifts. You know what I mean? Like, I see the world a certain way because I'm black and because I'm a male identified person. Another person sees the world differently because she's a woman.
Yeah.
So I, in like dealing with people and engaging with people and interacting with them, I try to honor their uniqueness. So yeah, I absolutely have like platonic woman friends that I just fuck with,
yeah,
as my friend that I love. That's absolutely a thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Word. So, next question. Where are we at on time? Okay, 43 right now. So, yeah, we'll
do one more question, take a break.
Yeah, let's do it. What question is jumping out at you?
I do love the question about me bringing a gun on dates.
Let's get into that.
Yeah.
Who asked that?
We
don't have it.
Tabitha?
Listed. Oh, yeah. Tabitha did ask that. Tabitha is funny as shit. Shout out to her.
Yeah. She asked, does Josh bring a gun on a date? And she said, I could take that answer off the air.
Yeah.
Okay. I have brought guns on dates.
Not for the date, though.
Not for the date.
Just like general
just
security.
There was a time when I carried a gun with me almost all the time. Yes, I did carry a gun on a date on multiple occasions. I don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I also don't date women who would like be turned on by like sliding their hand down my my chest and stomach and then like
feeling the pistol.
Yeah, feeling the pistol. At the time, I definitely dated chicks that would like be turned on by like the danger element.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it's just like the danger element is strictly for the bedroom.
And it's just, wow. This was like, are we talking like early aughts?
Late 90s, early aughts.
Yeah. Murder rate was higher here, you know what I'm saying?
City was different.
There was an element of danger, you know what I mean? It's different than it is now. It ain't safe now, you know what I'm saying? The murder rate's like spiking back up.
Yes.
But it ain't where it was.
I also don't hang out in spots like, you know what I mean? Like, I would definitely need a pistol in at all times.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Don't need your pistol in, like, Brewery Town Beats.
Nah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Shout out to Brewery Town Beats. Yeah. You don't need your pistol at brunch.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? If I'm going to, like, you know, some trendy spot, some, like, vegan trendy spot, I really don't need to burn a...
Right,
like,
right.
You know, not too many people are going to run up on me.
Yeah, you're not in, like, the bike club.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Down north.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to some place where it's like, oh, like Jefferson Street Projects are going to be in here tonight.
Right.
Like, no, there was definitely a time when I did carry a gun on me. Like, I would carry a gun on me to go to the store. So, like, going on a date was like, well, this shit could jump off. Like, you know what I mean?
I would tell you, I'm going to edit this out. I would tell you about... I know you ain't never meet him, but we were going to my little cousin's birthday party. Mm-hmm. My cousin who was in the Beyonce shit.
Yeah.
So we pull up and we see getting out the car, and he's like putting the pistol. He's like tucking the pistol to go in. Like my cousin Mir might have been like eight. He's going like a little kid's birthday party and like tucking the pistol in like his waistband. He didn't even have like the holster joint on. I'm like, you are the fuck out of pocket, dog. Yeah. But you know, shit was dangerous.
Yeah, listen, you never know when shit was gonna jump off. Your clown at the party might act up, like, you know what I mean?
Minnie Mouse come out with like two pistols. Let's jump into our final break and then get back to some more questions. We'll be right back.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
What do explorers, an Army officer, and a Minnesota insurance salesman have in common? They all wanted to be the first to reach the North Pole, but only one of them made it. I'm Kat Long, science editor at Mental Floss and host of the new podcast, The Quest for the North Pole, which dives into the centuries-long race to explore the Arctic, find the Northwest Passage, and conquer the top of the world. With a cast of daring adventurers and some pretty determined amateurs, the race to the pole reveals the human desire to solve mysteries of geography and the soul. We'll look at the important Arctic expeditions that filled the blank spaces on the map and recognize how indigenous people made them successful. We'll examine what pushed explorers to venture ever farther into the unknown and uncharted, and how the climate crisis is changing the Arctic today. Listen to The Quest for the North Pole every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. So, let's see. Let's talk about the, let's get to Jake's question, if that's cool with you. We jump right in on that. Shout out to Jake. He wanted to talk about sexuality at a young age, addressing the Zaya situation. Is it Zaya? I'm assuming because it was Zion.
I think it is Zaya.
It's Zion. So addressing the Zaya situation and how we relate to how we felt as kids and connecting it to my children. Another question that I think maybe I wrote it down wrong, or maybe Jake just was like freestyling at the keyboard. But I have a general grasp of what Jake is asking. D-Wade's daughter, I don't know, does she uses she pronouns? She, so I guess pronouns. You would say daughter. Because that shit's like complicated too.
Yeah, she came out as trans. So
Okay, she definitely
came out as trans.
So D-Wade's daughter, who was D-Wade's son,
yes,
Zion, now goes by Zaya, uses she, her pronouns. And the internet has been like on fire since
people are upset that somebody else's child is comfortable enough in who they love and who they are as a person. Yeah, meanwhile, like I was at that age and had no, like I think she's 12.
Yeah.
When I was 12 years old, man, I was a fucking mess. So like,
right,
for her to be like that, I don't want to say that grown, but just that comfortable in herself and that knowing of herself. And I think part of that is, you know, society is a little different than we were kids.
Yeah, shit's more open to that kind of thing.
There was one out gay kid at our high school when we were kids.
Yeah, we used to call him Gay Mike.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, what I mean? He was like the one kid.
The one gay kid that we all knew. Like, you know what I mean?
There are probably hundreds of gay kids in our school, but he was like you said, the one kid who was out.
Knew. Yep.
I appreciate that D-Wade and that whole family is like holding this kid up.
Yes, yeah.
And supporting this kid. You know, we have people in the world who feel different ways about people being gay or people being trans or whatever. You know, no matter what you feel, the shit's a reality.
Yeah.
And this kid is like, yo, this is how I feel, you know. And people try to paint it like, oh, it's like the times, you know, this leading these kids to this stuff. It is the times in the sense where, you know, the world is more open to shit.
So it's much more comfortable.
I promise you, people have been feeling this way for thousands of years.
Yes.
And didn't have the language or the space to speak about it.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
At least not in, like, quote-unquote Western culture. Mm-hmm. Because in Africa, in the Americas, like, two-spirited people were loved and welcomed into tribal society.
Explain what two-spirit means.
Is a lot of people in indigenous culture will say it's either like gay or trans, because they were, you know, they were quote-unquote men who dressed like women, or they were just like feminine men or like masculine women, like or women who would dress like in traditional men male clothing or whatever,
and the society allowed for it.
Yeah. Now I will say, from what I've read, not all tribes were accepting of it.
Boom. Yeah.
So I don't want to here's the thing. Here's a giant thing for everybody. We're not fucking a monolith.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're a woman, a man, or you're black, or you're white, or you're indigenous, or you're Asian, whatever, you're not a monolith. And no one has to, like, there's not one main through story that we all are on the same path for. Mm-hmm. So, yes, there were tribes that didn't accept it. But generally, two-spirited people in tribal culture here in the Americas were accepted.
Right.
And from research, from what I've done, read about Africa, there were several tribes all across Africa that were very accepting of people being gay, or, you know, a lot of times they felt there was a connection because a lot of those cultures didn't touch on like a theistic idea of God. Mm-hmm. They thought more of in a balance of like, you know, nature and like the spiritual realm and blah, blah, blah. Like there was a more of a balance. They considered a person who was both masculine and feminine to be more in balance with themselves. A lot of times thought they were more spiritually in touch than a regular person.
Right. You know, I mean, gods in like ancient cultures are androgynous gods.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I would say also, if you think about it, because I've like gone back and forth with people about this, we're gonna tie it into the Zaya thing. Just let us land on this,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
It all makes sense.
Yeah, but I've gone back and forth with people, and they say, well, you know, like in Nature of the Threat, Rashcast talked about like homosexuality and the Greeks and all of that. I was like, yo, if you look at every anti-homosexual law in Africa, who wrote the laws? The colonial.
Yes.
Cultures, you know what I'm saying? The colonial societies wrote that shit. So if it didn't exist in Africa, then why did Europeans feel the need to come and regulate against it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? These ideas of what a man is, what a boy is, what a girl is, what a woman is, and this rigid binary that we live under in this society is very much a European construct. You know what I mean? Other societies were, like you said, more open and accepting of varying gender and sexual expressions.
Yeah.
So off top, you know what I mean? There's like precedent for this shit. But then tying it into Zaya and like D-Wade and their family, that's his fucking child, dog.
Was he not supposed to support her?
That's his child. You know what I'm saying? As far as, you know, my understanding of like what's right and wrong, you ride with your family.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's nothing let me get it off. There's nothing that anybody that I love close to me could come to me and say about their gender or sexuality or whatever. You know what I mean? You're not fucking with kids or no shit like that. It's nothing you can say to make me write you off, especially not my kid.
People allow the child molesting uncle around kids and let him prosper in a family living grandma's house.
And right. they, that's definitely a thing.
But they'll kick a kid out because they gay.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of issues. A lot of that comes from colonial thinking, like you touched on. I mean, listen, dog, just, you know, you got to do the knowledge and read, you know, and go study the scrolls. Watch season one, episode two of Atlanta. And he'll break it down for you.
Yo.
Tell you sexuality is fluid. And, like, you know what I mean?
It's a spectrum.
Yeah.
We are almost at an hour.
Okay. We can touch on, like, one more question and, you know,
yeah,
and get out of here.
Let's combine two questions.
Yes.
And then we'll bounce. So, Alexa, shout out to Alexa, who actually did our first SRS photo shoot.
Yes.
Shout out to Alexa. She asked, how have your ideas about masculinity changed over time, if at all? And how has that affected your ability to relate to women? Do you think that women still have expectations of manhood that you may not live up to or exhibit? Nikki, shout out to the homie Nikki.
Yes.
Also asked, are gender roles important in 2020? Both of these questions, to me, are obviously related.
Yes.
So, yeah, we can talk about them both, you know, in unison.
Okay. Well, I could say this. For me personally, I think gender roles as a whole kind of come down to how you and your partner feel.
Right.
So, like, if your partner is comfortable with a quote-unquote their sexuality's gender role and you're comfortable, like, doing your, you know, mainstream gender role, then you do that. Like,
just rock out with it, yeah.
Here's the thing, man. Listen, you know what? The world is not lived on the internet. It's not lived on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or whatever. Like, I think way too many of us get caught up with this idea of, like, oh, well, this is what's supposed to be done nowadays because that's what Twitter tells me to do.
Yeah, we complicate this shit.
Yeah.
We definitely, like, complicate this shit.
Generally, what it comes down to is, like, what are you comfortable with? And if you're not comfortable with being, like, put into a traditional woman's role, right? Then you don't be with a person who wants you to be in that.
Yeah, you got to figure that out within your relationship.
Yeah, like, I think a lot of it comes down to us discussing things with people. I know, shout out again, that's like the third time I mentioned Rhythm maybe on this podcast, but she said one of, like, her biggest questions on, like, first dates is, like, what are your feelings on, like, homosexuality and that kind of stuff?
Okay.
And, like, to get that out the air so you don't find that out 2 months into the relationship.
That the person's, like, a homophobe.
Yeah, they don't say something wild and then you're oh, my God, like, I have feelings for this person.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to discuss things. That's why, like, going to the movies is a terrible first date.
Right. You're not talking. You're not talking. That's so real.
Generally, your first couple dates should be dates where you guys can talk.
Yeah. We got to hash shit out.
Yeah.
And I want to give you all my shit. You finna get to know me. You know what I'm saying?
You're going
to
hear all my issues.
Yeah. So, I don't want to. Yeah. I don't sit in no dark room with a fucking the Avengers are playing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to discuss those type of things. And, like, I do think there's a place for, societal gender roles.
Yeah, yeah. Like the established roles
that we have. Established roles of gender. I think there's a place for that if you're both comfortable with it.
Right.
And I think masculinity in this day and age, I think it needs to be reevaluated. We talk about toxic masculinity plenty of times in music and in culture, period. And I think those things need to be examined. Just for, like, listen, man, like, what people don't realize is, like, that toxic masculinity, that's why, like, women have longer lives than we do. Because men, like, hold this shit inside of us.
Yeah, we don't express.
Yeah, so we don't express our feelings because we're taught to, like, oh, expressing your feelings is gay or it's, like, feminine or whatever.
I would cry right now.
Yeah, like, I
on this motherfucking podcast.
Listen, man, like, I was just telling you about a movie earlier that I cried at. Like, there's not, like, there's absolutely nowhere for me to be, like, oh, like, you can't express yourself. You need to be able to express yourself. Like, we should be able to feel our feelings. You have these feelings for a fucking reason.
Right. And I think that we are, as a society, moving into a space that is reevaluating masculinity.
Yes.
Also reevaluating femininity. and just, you know, moving into a space where this shit makes more sense for people. How many people, you know, have lived and died and collapsed under this weight of expectations Absolutely. For what a man is supposed to be or what a woman is supposed to be? Women in the 20s probably wanted to fucking, you know, go off on a fucking sailboat or some shit, you know what I mean, and like live their lives and couldn't because society said, no, you have to be this. I appreciate the fact that men are becoming more open. You know, we got a long way to go with this shit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But men,
journey.
Yeah, I see men working on this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like on a day to day, talking with other men and then interacting with men on social media. I see men trying to work on this thing, you know, to move from a toxic masculinity into like a whole masculinity. As far as how do you want to say expectations of manhood, Atiya asked, do women have expectations of manhood that you may not live up to or exhibit? I've definitely seen that shit too. I tell a story. We were at the Sankofa house for a cookout. This is like a few years ago. And, you know, like somebody's, like folks are like getting hungry, waiting for like the grill. You know, somebody have like fired up the grill. But I asked, I was like, yo, is anybody, you know, about to throw some of this meat on the grill?
Yeah.
And this one lady looks at me. She's like, no, King, that's your job. You know what I mean? Yeah. A woman shouldn't be doing that. You should be doing it. I was like, cooking meat is my job? Like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? But some people, you know, that's how they move in the world.
Oh, the barbecue is the man's job. Like,
Right. Which, like, who? Because, like, is it that women cook, you know, 364 days out of the year,
exactly.
But the one 4th of July cookout is like the guy's time to shine? I don't know. Most traditional gender roles, I don't mind. But also, we have to factor in like a bunch of other stuff. Like, I see people on Twitter say stuff like, you know, men don't even like provide anymore. You know, we don't live in a one income society anymore. You know what I'm saying? We don't live in a one income economy.
Yeah.
So unless you're like crazy G'ing off, then, you know, as far as like on the money tip, then both of y'all got to work. You know, both of y'all got to bring in money and split shit and all of that. So I think that if we want to have a more sane society, like you said, we just have to like reevaluate a lot of this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's really important to talk with any prospective partner and get a good understanding of like what does she expect from or like I say she because that's who I would, you know, I'd be with a woman generally,
right?
But you know, you can replace that pronoun with anybody, right? But talk to that person and be like, hey, like what are your expected gender roles and gender ideals and like overall perspective, because if I'm gonna have children with this person, I want to be able to raise a child with the same ideals that I have, so your ideals should at least somewhat match mine, right?
You want to know about their worldview and all that.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. So I think that's really important, and I think you know, so when you're interacting with somebody, you guys know what the deal is. So she you know, if you know, for me, for dealing with a woman and she's like, well, you know, I cook, you know, all the time, blah, blah, blah. I'd be like, well, I don't want to do that. I prefer
I want to cook too.
Yeah, I actually enjoy cooking. So I'd prefer. Plus, like, I've been cooking for myself really for, I don't know how many years at this point, like 8 or 9, almost 10 years probably at this point. Yeah, close to about 10 years. So, like, I'm really comfortable with my cooking.
Right.
And so I prefer my cooking.
Right.
And so I like, I don't necessarily want you to cook all the time. I'd rather cook what I like too.
Yeah.
So I don't want to have that idea of like, well, I'm the woman, so I cook. I guess that's what we're supposed to do. It's like, no, I'm perfectly fine cooking myself.
Yeah. My pops used to cook all the time.
Yeah, I think it's really important to like get those things down, like, and to talk to somebody about it. Like, I didn't do that with my kid's mother. And that's not to like shade her in any type of way of be like, oh, well, she doesn't believe this, that, like, we have these issues. Yeah, just like we did disagree about a lot of stuff. And even like raising our kids, we disagree about stuff. And part of it's because I wasn't mature enough, A, to really be having kids, B, to like talk about these type of things, you know what I mean? Also, my worldview has changed in the last 20 years and shit. So what I see is like, oh, well, this is how I felt at 19. I don't feel that way at fucking 39. Like, that just isn't how it works.
Yeah, you're different, yeah.
So I think it's really important to have these discussions. And communication, listen, man, at the end of the day, communication and for any kind of relationship,
it's the key.
Whether it be fucking platonic, romantic, business, whatever, communication is extremely important.
Yeah, absolutely.
And definitely for romantic. If you're going to be living the fuck together, man, you guys got to be.
Life.
Yeah, you have to be able to talk about the things that you like and don't like.
Right.
So I think that's the most important thing. I think discussing like what your partner expects out of masculinity in 2020.
Yeah. You can have gender roles. You can have expectations and everything, but like ultimately you got to talk about them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you got to establish ground rules.
Yeah, I mean, like, listen, you know, when it comes to gender roles, like, listen, man, maybe you want to, you know, get pegged. Like, I mean, it's on you.
Right.
It's, you know what I mean? Like, are you both comfortable with it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you rock out. Because, like, you know, I'm not a person who gives a fuck. If you don't hurt other people, I don't give a fuck what you do.
Oh, man.
Or how you manage your shit.
Yeah, just live your life, baby. Like, you know, and we'll all figure it out eventually. So I think a lot, but again, a lot of it comes down to talking and, you know, and being able to be flexible in what you think too. In the idea that as long as you're not hurting other people, like, but being flexible, being like, you know, well, I generally cook all the time. And then being like, yeah, but I like to cook too. And then go, okay, like maybe a couple days a week you cook, I'll cook a couple days a week. We'll work it out.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You know, flexible and communication.
Yeah.
Most important things.
Definitely. I think maybe, do we have to do the new music thing? I think we should save this one and then, jump back into it. So, yeah. Shout out to everybody who, you know, sent in questions.
Sorry we couldn't get to everybody.
Yeah. Some of y'all questions were, like, more involved than we had, you know, really time for.
Yeah, it would be whole episodes.
Yeah. But we're gonna come back and do another one, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, we're romance gurus. Fuck, what's that dude? Doctor, whatever the hell his name is. He's the love guru dude.
Oh, shit. That motherfucking name.
Dr. Drew.
Oh, shit, it was Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I thought Dr. Drew, and I was like, that's not his name.
We, you know, we put Dr. Drew to shame.
Dr.
You know
Drew ain't had no buns in years. Get him out of here.
You see him? He is square, dog.
Look at his face.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, he ain't getting no slams. Like
him and the boy from Hamilton used to get stuffed in the locker.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably back in the day. Come on.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, like, fuck Dr. Drew.
Yeah. Fuck with us. But, yeah, we you know, are the fuck out here. You know what I'm saying? Follow us on all the socials.
Yeah, Serious Rap Shit.
Come on.
Every place except for Facebook is Serious Rap-ish because Facebook's a hater.
Fucking immature.
I'm INDI_SRS on Twitter and on Instagram. You can throw me a follow there.
Come on.
I will follow back generally.
I will not.
John_Liberator on
Twitter and Instagram.
Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
Also, go check out the Abolish Ice hoodies are up at Incense Trap and Yoga. So we have a t-shirt and a hoodie available. Yeah. Remember, part of the proceeds go to helping undocumented families separated at the border with their legal fees. So, you know, we'll be back next week. Some more fire for you.
Yeah. And we're going to drop a website on y'all soon.
Yes. The website is coming.
SeriousRapShit.com. Come on. So, yeah, we're going to come back. You know what I mean? We got a dope guest episode coming up soon, too.
Yes.
So,
ghost episode coming up.
We got some joints for y'all.
Yep. Word. Other than that, we out.
Peace.
Peace.
Serious Rapshit is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
To some, he's Ziggy Stardust. To others, the Thin White Duke. Or Major Tom. But who is David Bowie really? To answer that, we'll have to go Off the Record. Off the Record is a new music biography podcast. Every season profiles one legendary artist. To start, we'll explore the faces of David Bowie. Each episode tells the story of one of his iconic personas. Together, they form an intimate portrait of the complex cultural giant. Listen and follow Off the Record on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.